And we are back, Black and a Half, episode number 77.
77.
And I am Silas Lindenstein. And here again with us, Samantha Rund.
Yes.
Samantha Rund. Manny Martin is on assignment. Samantha stepped in once again.
Thank you, Manny.
Yeah.
And Silas.
Thank you, Manny, for your absence.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
We were gone. I was gone last week completely. Wasn't, you know, been trying to do a weekly, but the problem with weekly is if you don't have those extra episodes built in when you get sick, I can't. It's all voice and nobody needed to hear me snotting for an hour. That was rough.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Me too. You know, I started talking about my changing in this episode, my diet changes and stuff, but I do partly think it was kind of helpful to diet change right as I was getting sick.
Because
I think it was like, I'm not just eating crap. I was like, oh, lots of fruit and trying to drink lots of water and everything. And so I felt like it was a little bit of a better recovery.
Yeah.
Do you have a comfort food when you're sick?
Well, I guess it depends what kind of sick, but I think normally if it's just like a cold or a fever, whatever, I don't have much of an appetite. So it's like tea, lots of tea. Oh, wait, pho.
Pho.
Yeah. I love pho now. I didn't love it before, but now I really love pho.
Well, it's like chicken soup, but good.
Yeah. chicken soup. My mom would make this homemade chicken soup. And that was my favorite when I used to live at home. Yeah. So, Mom, if you're listening.
Make some.
No, just know I love it. Okay. I love your cooking.
I don't know. You know, I used to like Campbell's like chicken soup or whatever was in a can. Mm-hmm. Like that seemed fine. I don't know if it's Seattle that spoiled me with pho, but like that's how stuff tastes nasty now.
Well,
like
think,
it's horrid.
Like in your taste buds over time though, they change.
I thought
like
it was supposed to taste less.
My taste buds have aerated.
Yeah.
No, I don't like some of the crap foods I used to like when I was a kid.
Really?
Probably part of it is I stopped eating it and also matured taste buds and all of that. And just like now I love bitter dark chocolate. I don't like sugary milk chocolate.
Oh,
I can have it. What? I can have it.
You
but
are
like,
milk chocolate. How are you?
Thank you. I got enough.
This is a special half and half edition.
That's right.
Of the episode. Right.
Just one black and one white.
Yeah.
This
is this episode we talk a little bit about Bill Burr. I think I've inspired Samantha to go finish it.
That is the truth. Yes.
You hear about that. But our guest for this is the very funny comic and host of the new comedy game show Poker Face. Just moving around, which will be at Serial on over in Bellevue on October 26th.
I'm going to say
Alex Orozco. Orozco?
Yeah. This is
I got it right the first
very
time.
Good. Very good pronunciation.
Usually takes me three times.
That's a great last name, too, though.
Yeah. Do you like people to find you on Facebook?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
He's under Samuel.
It's our standard operating procedure these days.
Okay. You know, it's funny.
Wait, did you say you're under Samuel?
My whole name is Samuel Alejandro Orozco
the third.
So, you know what's funny? I thought he was two different people for the longest time because I'd see him in person as Alex. And then I would see this guy named Samuel that would comment on stuff. I was like, I actually thought he was somebody else that had moved out of town. Uh-huh. And then I was like, why does he suddenly start commenting on my shit?
We met in 2014.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
And then as Alex.
Have you been here since 2014?
I came to visit for 10 days, to mess around.
Oh, and then so when did you...
Move here?
Yeah.
2018.
Ah, okay.
But I was very confused because I was like, this is a different guy.
You're like, do you have a twin?
Oh, there's a lot of comics. Well, I chalked it up to that.
He puts you always have stuff on your...
Different cranium accessories.
Yeah, on your head. So it's hard to like... I even went through your profile earlier today and I was like, you don't look the same in most of your pictures. Like it's funny. Seriously, check them out and you'll see that.
Okay, I'm gonna.
This is accurate.
I'm gonna make noise because I'm gonna look for you. Right,
that's
now
a good thing
Facebook.
Though. Like you can get away from the chaos of America.
I appreciate it because as someone named Silas Lindenstein, I can't get away with shit. Everyone knows it was me. There's no middle name to hide behind. None of that. So anyway, we talk about Bill Burr. We talk about, at the end, we talk about Poker Face. I'll tell you all about that.
There's a cat.
Oh, yeah. I watch cats, too.
I'm sorry. I am adding you, and yeah. I'm distracted by that cat.
I just like animals.
You do look different. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Man, we didn't get to half the topics that I was going to write about, but it was good. We talked about the Uncanny Comedy Festival and diversity in casting. Some people want to hear about that. Some people won't. You know, I don't think we said anything controversial there. Samantha never says anything controversial. She's just trying to like balances both ends. I just
got like a lot of Libra in my chart.
Yeah. Talk about traveling. It's a fun episode. We learn a lot. I think it goes by quick. This is a very quick episode feeling to us.
Oh, like the time always flies by. Yeah. I always have a great time.
When you're having fun, it goes by.
Yeah.
You know? And a special shout out to all our new listeners in Puerto Rico and Australia. Well, they've been there, but
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, they're
just
guys.
popping out of everywhere. Just showing up. Like all over the world, becoming Black and a Half fans, you know? And if you're a real Black and a Half fan, though, you'll also go to patreon.com/blacks/blackandahalf and become a Patreon subscriber to Black and a Half.
Yay. Yes.
Just as little as $5 a month. Also, if you want to support the show, you could buy a house. You can go to silasgetsreal.com and send me a message. As you know, this episode is partially brought to you by Skyline Properties, who helps us use this, who helps us by letting us use the space in the office that I work in. And of course, I'm a real estate agent there. So feel free to
use a super agent.
Yeah. That's a right. Super agent. I'm a super agent.
Like there's no gold.
You know, there's nothing legally stopping me from putting that on a card.
No, as a comedian, you should embellish a bit.
Yeah, I should. Super agent.
I think it'd be nice if you did it like throwing stars.
Wear a cape and throw stars.
Throw stars?
I know it's not really in your stereotypical demographic there for you to have throwing stars, but.
Yeah, not typical. But I can ninja it up for something.
What else could you throw?
Real estate ninja. Throw, well, I can make them like laser. Money. Laser
money.
Stars.
Money.
Yeah.
Throw laser stars. About
baloney.
Nerdy. What?
I don't know. I just think it'd be funny to throw baloney. You don't strike me as a baloney eater. I don't know anybody who eats baloney anymore.
Oh, actually, you know what?
But
I bought my son some baloney to eat, my 18-month-old.
Your adorable child.
And I took a bite of it because I was like, you know, I was trying to get him to eat it. And I was like, this isn't that bad. What am I remembering? Because it's not Oscar Mayer. If you just go to get the nice cuts, like it's actually just another kind of pork. You know, product.
Charcuterie.
Oh,
it's a charcuterie for my son.
If it's American and it's Oscar, it's bologna, but mortadella, I guess, would be the best version.
Oh, is that another one?
Mortadella.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, that's basically bologna.
Oh,
but like official bologna, not like American pumped out of
beef bologna.
Yeah.
Mm. Ooh, You're so worldly.
Look at that foodie talk.
You're so worldly.
I swear.
Bougieing up that bologna. It's a bougie bologna right there.
All right. So here we are. Episode number 77. Alex Orozco. Orozco, right?
Orozco.
Alex Orozco. I can edit that.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Saturday night, I forget what I was doing. I had a show or something.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't until like 11:30 I got home. And I saw on my way home on Facebook notification, I got added to some group called Chonkies.
Called what?
Chonkies. I was like, I don't know what the hell that is.
Sounds
and it
bad.
Was, yeah, it wasn't until later that I looked it up, and it was so some guy that I just kind of know, like he's not like a friend,
mm-hmm.
like I just kind of know him. He added me to a fat support group, like
Chonky C H O N K E.
Yeah, yeah, it was a new one, and then I found the guy. The friend of mine actually started it. Like, I guess it's a new thing, but he was like it was this group because they had found that there's no like.
Weight Watchers
no,
for Men.
There's no support groups online, like a weight like a fat positive group for guys.
He found a niche.
And so he was started it. And so this other guy. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, wait, so clearly to this guy, I've never talked to him about my weight or anything. So I'm like, oh, so I'm so far gone that somebody just thought, oh, you know what? He'll appreciate this.
Oh.
So.
Has he heard you make jokes about it? Maybe?
No. He's not a comic. He's a normal person.
That is sort of. Very
and so,
presumptuous.
Yeah. And so that night I was like, well, I'm done. I'm done. I have to. And so the next day I was actually getting sick as this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started my Whole 30 again, which I think was about a year ago.
What's that a 30?
Whole 30 is 30 days of just trying to eat whole foods and
kind like of 30 whole, beers like a day. Whole pizza. You don't stop at half. No, you got to eat the whole thing.
That's what
thing.
I was doing. That's what I was doing. Now it's cutting out breads, rice, processed food, all that. And mainly, so it's vegetables, meat, and, you know,
well, like I love vegetables things. And fruit, especially fruit, but giving up bread, yikes. Do you eat late at night?
I've done this before.
Have you given that up?
I did that. Yeah, I've done everything. I've tried every little interval thing. I've done Whole 30 before, so I know it works for me to start, like to start off. So my plan is Whole 30, 30 days, and then go into moderation or of introduce the food.
So you
back
let them get to you.
Oh, but I was already feeling bad. That's the thing. It's like I was like, you know, I probably do need the support group, but fuck you for adding me. Like right. I didn't ask you. I didn't ask for that. I wasn't talking about that. My
did
other
you join
friend should've.
Or did you ignore?
No, I said I denied request. Denied. And I was like. Like no, I'm like I was just no. I'm like I'll do this on my own. I don't want to be in a fat support group. I don't want to be acknowledged as needing it. And maybe it was the kick in the pants that I needed, but because it finally got me like fine, okay. And it was, I'll say hey, and I've only it's been a week. This is day 9 of it, and I've lost 5 pounds.
Hey,
and
good
I've
job.
Gone a notch on the belt. Hey. Already so and this shirt was way too tight before now it's only a little tight
it's so. Literally just like saving money is kind of what I think because I've never really had a problem with it but I have always like I can identify my bad spending habits and if you just cut them out and follow a regimen you'll just see it build the money in your account like just cut out drinking or cut out going to the movies or whatever your thing is.
This is I'll tell you this I don't think this is a cheap one because in order to maintain like because you have to eat meat's expensive. Like meat is not cheap. Like those rice and spaghetti, that helps fill you out.
Oh yeah, totally.
I mean alcohol cutting that out is always good for me. Actually, I feel way better whenever I don't drink. So I know I shouldn't, but I can't help myself most of the time. But
I'm just still thinking about even
I will say in 5 days though, I already do feel wonderful. Like I feel much better because the Whole 30 does that. Once you get past the first 3 days.
Yeah.
Your body starts just processing, you know, the turns fat into energy and then.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like financial health and health. Like you work out the first day and you haven't worked out in a long time. You're all creaky and achy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then if you go the third day, you're like, oh, this was so much harder a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Like it just really takes that first initial.
Oh, the first 3 days are miserable. Last time I did this, I was going to quit on day 3 and my daughter knew I was doing it. And I said like, and I was telling her, no, I'm actually going to stop tomorrow. I'm just going to go back to, and she looked at me, she said, daddy, you can't quit. If you quit, that means you failed.
Oh.
And it was like a stab in the heart. And I had to like, so I went and so I finished it because of that.
Well, I guess she told you what you needed
yeah.
to
So this
hear,
time I
right?
haven't, I told, she knows I'm doing it, but I'm like, well, I'm modifying it this time, so it's not totally. And I might not do it 30 days. That's what I told her. I was like, that way if I quit, she can't guilt me into it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever like had someone presume something like that? Like not wait, but something else where they're like, oh yeah, you're
sometimes
you want to go to the swingers party, right? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, there is a story. No, that, oh, this is the craziest story. It didn't happen, but it was crazy. It was like my sister's graduation. We went out dancing, my mom, and it was just like a regular dance club, except for they had male go-go dancers. I guess there were women too. I mean, they were dressed. They were like women too, but I don't remember them because I just remember, you know, the guys. And one of them came up afterwards and propositioned me.
Yeah.
In front of my mom.
Whoa. Hey.
But he propositioned me to come with him and like his buddies for a group thing.
Oh.
Which I would never do anyway.
Like, right.
I wouldn't have even gone with just him. I was so flattered because he was so hot, and I was like,
yeah.
I was dancing, kind of like saw him throughout the night, but I just couldn't believe he had come up to me and not gone talk to my sister. You know, it was just like very, it was very surprising. And it was also very surprising that he thought like I would in any universe be like, yeah.
Was it that kind of club though?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'd never been there before. It was just like a regular dance club. But, you know, he was probably like drunk with power of hotness. And yeah. He probably had, and, oh, you know, yeah. Like his job is to dance shirtless.
I've
and
like
there are probably, right? Probably yeah. Like so many women that proposition every night. He just was so bold. And
Did
the only reason
accent?
Why I didn't slap him is because he was really hot.
Was it the Australian accent? Guys?
He
Thunder from Down
no,
Under?
No, it was like an actual like dance.
Right.
Club.
No, but did he have an accent?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Those guys will show up anywhere. I've been at a comedy club at the end of the night. They just storm in and all these women flood in. The Thunder from Down Under. They're
oh,
crazy. Geez.
Well, you know, I
what?
So embarrassing.
What's embarrassing?
Crikey, no, tell us.
Like my sister, we're going to celebrate in Vegas. My mom and my sister's birthday's coming up in November. And like, I am not, as you know, I love going like dancing, but I am not into the whole like Thunder from Down Under sort of scene or whatever thing like that. And they just, you know, my sister's like, oh, it'd be fun. And, you know, I'd gone before with her like twice down there to different ones. And I always just think like, this, like, I feel like I'm such a, not like
prude?
A, like
Are
a,
prude?
No, I'm not a prude. Okay. I people say it like it's a bad thing. I just am like, why am I going to spend my hard earned money and dress up to clap for men who already have big enough egos?
It's
just
like
so
silly,
not
though. Like my mom and aunts and her friends have gone. It's like silly for women. It's not like secretive, creepy like it is for dudes.
No. Yeah, like the vibe is totally different, I would imagine.
It's more upbeat,
like
lighthearted.
Yeah. I guess part of me feels like a hypocrite too, because that's just not, I'm just not into like.
You just don't want to tip them. That's really it.
You don't want to objectify them.
I don't. Well, I'm not into the whole like culture of objectification, you know? And then I just feel like either really like a little bit snooty, like, what, you can't sit here and have a good time while these hot men dance for you? No, I can't, damn it. You know, I'll have a good time laughing.
I feel uncomfortable. You know,
it's uncomfortable.
I know it's not supposed to be sexual, but I don't like the belly dancing in the restaurant when the restaurants and they're belly dancing. And I was like, I don't know. This feels a little weird. Like I'm eating. I don't want.
It's not supposed. Well,
have you never been to?
No, I mean, I love belly dancing. I haven't been to a restaurant while it was happening. But
you know
I'm
what? I think it's probably
dancing.
How most people feel when a comedy show starts. That's for me. When a belly dance starts, I was like,
we didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, I was eating. Yeah, you know, it sounded like a good idea when I started, but now
if you weren't
it's
expecting
here,
it,
can you just? Yeah, let's. Can we not? I just want some pita bread.
I always like to call out the Tinder dates that got interrupted and they didn't know a show was about to break out. It's like, hey, it's your second date. It's a free one. All right. It's a freebie. Comedy show is a perfect second date.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. You get a little bit of intuition on what they think is funny, which is really important.
Oh, okay. You know what? When I took my wife to see, I did not know. Someone suggested because I just started dating. So we had just started dating. But it was like a month before Christmas. And so like, when do you get somebody like a month before? I don't know. You know, this could be serious. I don't know. And someone suggested, this was before I was doing comedy. They suggested get tickets to like a comedy show. Because that way it's an event you go to and then you laugh. And then, and so, you know, I knew that I gathered she was a little like more conservative than me, you know, but it was also like get it a couple months after. That way you don't have to go together. It doesn't work out. But I did not know what Dave Attell was like live. Because all I had ever seen was the drunk bar show Insomniac. So I was like, oh, he's a funny guy. I did not know how dirty, nasty he was. And so I'm cracking up and looking at him. She's like, like she's like smiling, but like obviously didn't like it. But I was like, later on, I was like, oh, but you thought that one was funny, right? And she's like, no, she did not like it at all. Thought it was just nasty. And I was like, oh, okay.
It's a risk. Like,
oh, huh. Didn't think of that. Well, I should have looked him up a little more before I picked that one.
I would imagine like the kinds of things that you laugh at, though, I don't know, now maybe they might be a little bit different.
Oh, these are way worse now. I mean,
well, what I'm saying is like if I were on a second date, well, I guess it's different. I'm a comedian now, too.
Yeah.
But like years ago, if I was on a second date, even if I thought something was funny, I probably wouldn't want the guy to know that I thought it was funny until later, because I wouldn't want him getting any
ideas.
Keep
it reserved a little bit. But some of them you can't help, right? Some of them you try to hold it in and it just comes out. I mean, that always happens.
Oh, yeah.
At a show. Yeah, you didn't want to laugh at that, or you didn't think that you were going to, just the way they delivered it.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
It's, yeah, I wish I had done a little more research between doing that. I was thinking, laughing at what you should. So Bill Burr, did you see his special, latest special?
I caught half of it.
Did you turn it off?
Like no, a cold?
No, I do dog walking. And when there's one like really close to my house, I just do stop whatever I'm doing and go grab it.
Okay.
It's just easy money when you don't have to involve a car or a bus.
Rover?
It's WAG, actually.
WAG, okay.
Oh, cool, yeah.
I almost signed up for Rover. And I probably should, but it's just more paperwork to go through. More taxes at the end. I don't really need to. There's plenty of dogs on WAG.
Okay. And first half, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, he was coming out strong. I knew what he was trying to do, obviously. Like, I knew the points that he was going to make were going to reiterate the last special, a lot like Chappelle. You remember the Slim Shady LP? This is a really good analogy, I think. You remember how Moms went crazy with his content?
Okay.
Eminem, Slim Shady LP?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, he's responsible for all these. And then, like, Chappelle came back with even worse stuff. I think that's exactly like Slim Shady to Marshall Mathers. He's like, oh, you thought that was bad? I will up the ante and make it even worse. I think that Bill Burr on his own level is doing the same thing. So it's hard for me to take seriously. I feel like he's just stepping on the gas.
That's so interesting. I didn't feel like Chappelle was like, okay, I'm going to make it worse.
Well, I mean, yeah. If you look at the jokes that they thought were controversial, he hits them even harder this time. Like the same subject matter.
Yeah, but it didn't. I mean, from what I'm remembering, it didn't. And I don't know. I think I saw one of his interviews, but I don't remember. It didn't feel to me like his point was, I'm doing this to make it worse. It seemed like the point was, I'm going to drive into this even more so that you get what I'm talking about.
Maybe worse is not a good way to put it. Maybe like I only let this much of me come out on that last one and it was too much for you. So yes, now I'm going to double down.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
And Samantha, you turned it off.
I sure did.
Which one?
No, not Chappelle.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr. But I turned it. Well, okay. Also, part of it is the circumstances, right? It was supposed to be like date night. And I'm watching it. I'm just getting like really pissed off because he's saying like, I'm like, I don't feel like a funny joke. And I like Bill Burr. Well, from what I've seen before, you know, and I haven't seen everything. So I don't know if I need disclaimers for next time. I'm such a politician. No, but I'm just want to be clear about it. I'm doubling down. Is that like I've seen his comedy that I enjoy. I know that he kind
tends to be angry and whatnot, but he usually has a punchline that I'll enjoy or I'll appreciate his comedy. So for this one, I was like, okay, I'm getting annoyed, but where's that joke going to come where I'm going to laugh and you're going to get me back on your side? And after, you know, several minutes into it, that wasn't happening. I was just getting more and more angry. And I'm like, I don't want him to ruin date night because he's being a douche. I will turn this off and watch him later.
Do you remember a joke that?
Oh, I don't. It was something that was so like blaringly anti women. Like it was towards the beginning too. Like his point.
He comes right out of the gate with.
Do you remember what it is?
Because
I watched this twice.
No, see, that's why when you asked, I was like, man, I will watch it before the podcast, but I didn't have time.
No, but I was hoping maybe the. Here's what I first was reading about was people like, I'm so anti-woman, the way he just talks about his nagging wife. And So I watched it the second time to see, like, is this true? What did I miss? He doesn't bring his wife up till 30 minutes into the show.
I don't think I noticed the wife bit.
Well,
so
30 minutes, he doesn't bring her up, right? And then everything he's talking, I mean, I was like, really? Is that what they're saying? Like, I didn't feel that was naggy or that he was really complaining about her. It's like he says... She says this, but I felt,
what was it that she said though?
Like it was more bringing up some, he agreed like, I'm kind of a horrible, this was kind of wretched what I said or what I did. I didn't, you know, it's a flaw of me, but I felt like I was actually, I was saying today, I think his special was better than Chappelle's for this reason. Hold on. Chappelle's was a great stand-up. It was stand-up. It was a piece of art, right? I think Bill's almost goes to a one-man show in its level that he starts the show off with sort of a thesis question from what his wife had said. And then he spends the next hour building up to answer that question. And then he brings it up at the end. And it's, you haven't seen it, I won't ruin it.
Yeah, thank you for not ruining it.
But he says that he kind of has a callback to it. And you've realized he just answered that the whole time. And you didn't even know that was what the special was going to be about. And I felt like it had this nice button on the whole thing. And I understand the point. I understood the whole point of the special. And I didn't know if people turned it off or aren't looking for that. I know a lot of people watch stand-up and think of it as just like the same stuff that I feel like there's this level that you're at or I'm at that we're the scene that we're in that we almost expect comics to be at this bar level where it's just a bunch of tied together jokes loosely where he's working at a level where this is a show. I'm in a theater and I have to have something to say. About this,
he is in London. I remember him talking a lot of shit about women in America, and I know that he couldn't have gotten away with that in America, and I was like, oh, that's why he did it in London.
Yeah.
Now but I'm trying to remember what it was about the women in America, because I felt like it was taking what he was saying as like, I almost felt like there was a preparation that, oh, he's gonna woman bash instead of listening to what he's saying and like, is it woman bashing or is it just kind of a hokey?
Well, I think, you know,
perspective,
and also who has patience for stuff, you know, like I'm going to watch it also because you gave me another reason to watch it. I'm going to watch it because I want to see for myself, my opinion. But on a day when you just had enough, like you don't want to turn on TV to hear somebody that you want to make you laugh. And they just say something that just reminds you of how shitty it is to be in your daily life. You're just like, shut up. I don't want to hear this. You know, I'm not saying there's not a place for it, but sometimes you're just not having it.
I started it and my girlfriend was maybe 10 minutes out from being out the door, was finishing getting ready. And she was actually late for work because I realized she was standing there watching it with me. And I was like, are you not leaving because you're pissed off? Or what's going on? She's like, I don't know. I just can't go away right yet. So the reason that I stopped was purely circumstantial. I just wanted to go get this money. But she was there frozen for about 15 minutes trying to come up with the... And I think we need to watch it all the way through.
And I think that's it's a problem with Netflix as it is.
Too many
options.
It's
a problem the way we watch things is to just... it's a theater piece. You don't walk into Hamlet and say, you know what? As soon as he pisses me off, I'm out of here. Like, you have to watch it, right? You watch, or most shows, you'll kind of like sit through and watch it. Like, you probably wouldn't have started an episode of, if it was Date Night, right? You're not going to start a Lost in Space episode before you go, like a new one that you haven't seen, because you understand as an actor, you need to watch.
Yeah, you know,
get the whole thing together.
I just, not to be like devil's advocate on this one, but I do have mixed feelings about it. Because I know the way that I feel, because I'm, you know, an actor, writer, comic, whatnot, I'm going to sit through some stuff that maybe other people aren't going to sit through, because it's going to be interesting to me, because I want to find out why it works, what makes it work, and if it doesn't work, why it doesn't work. And if it's something that's a hot button topic, like, and also, you know, because I did see, oh, Bill Burr's got a new special, let me watch this, you know, I have other reasons why I'm invested in giving it my time. So the devil advocate part, the other part is just like, man, we're not alive for that long. And if we have the option to leave something that's bothering us without offending anybody else, on another hand, I'm kind of like, go for it. I used to like buy these books, read 100 pages. If I knew it was a good book, I'd read 100 pages before I let myself not read it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that anymore. Now I'm like, I'll give it like 50 pages maybe, but it depends too. Like, am I reading it for fun? Is it because a friend that I trust recommended it? Is it an author that I really admire and I want to see where they're going with this?
Nancy Pearl, the famous Seattle librarian. Mm-hmm. You know her? Have you heard of her? She had a librarian action figure. Librarian
oh, cool.
action figure made out of her. Her recommendation is actually give it as many pages as your age. And if it doesn't draw you in, toss it, go to the next book.
That's pretty good.
Because that's, she's like, there's plenty of books out there, so just
that's
skip
hilarious.
On. So,
I feel like the older you get, the less
your eyes
you
work.
Should, the less time you have. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's maybe I'm mixing it up.
No, my grandma has a quote, and in Spanish it has a little bit of a different feeling, but I'm sure it's been translated. When you're young, you have time. And health, but no money. In your middle years, you have health and money, but no time. Some people.
Yeah,
I don't
like,
have
what?
Money. When you're in your older years, you have, money and time, but no health. So try to enjoy them accordingly.
Because
there's a lot of people at the old folks' home just not doing anything is her logic on this. And it's not bad life advice. It's just not everyone's situation.
Right.
And you know what? I do get the... turning it off. I definitely watch way too many things for too long, and then before I should have given up on them, I'm like, but so I do get the point of that. I think it's just, there's some pieces I usually just don't, I think I maybe it's the episodes. Like I always make the time that, okay, I'm not going to start this unless I can watch the whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because you've heard that it was a great show? Like Narcos or something. I don't know what you're into.
No, I mean, in general, just because I feel like I don't believe just generally in watching half of an episode.
Mm.
Unless I've done it a lot more since having kids, because I have to turn things off. Because
you won't watch like ever. Like, what if you watch half today and half tomorrow? Like, you want to sit
the
down.
The only
and watch
time
the whole
I
thing.
Will do that is it's an unexpected occurrence, because I thought they were going to nap long enough for me to catch to watch this episode. And and it's inappropriate, so I can't finish it. Because I want to, because that story, I take everything almost like a play. It's meant for me to watch in this hour. And it's not meant for me to watch as a two-parter. If it's a two-part episode, I'll do that.
That's interesting. See, I often don't, well, I guess I shouldn't say often, but I will watch a lot of things straight through, and I will get interrupted and come back to something. Like, I won't watch it for like a week and come back to it later. Sometimes.
Like halfway through and then come back later.
Sometimes. Yeah.
There's a lot of 20-minute episode series on, you know, our streaming services now too. I think they're trying to fill that void that, oh, the kids are just barely asleep. I got enough time to knock out one of these.
Well, that was how long a half hour show actually was.
22 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to watch the Bill Burr special right now. Like, not right now, because this is always enjoyable whenever you have me on the podcast. So thanks for having me back on again. But no, don't you want to know? Like, I want to.
I'm
going to
watch it again
now.
Tonight, because I'm like, I need to know. I need to see what I'm missing, because I am also very convinced that because we live, I think we have a society that has is still has institutionalized misogyny and institutionalized relation racism that I think everybody has misogyny within them, male or female. I think it's just, and we just have to, so I just have to be a little more extra in catching it in myself and going like, that's why I didn't get it. Just like, but you're more in tune with it because you've had to deal with it your whole life. You're also, what I think fascinating for you too, is that you've also had to deal with like the institutionalized racism your whole life. Mm-hmm. Like we're just more in tune with that. I'm not going to catch, cause you're Latino, right?
Mm.
Yeah. You're going to catch you'll catch Mexican things that I did not, or Latino things that I did not. You're, but then I understand why white people don't notice a lot of stuff. Cause they're like, I didn't have to notice it.
I completely understand. No, because I think about like the difference is like once you tell somebody or educate somebody, once you try to help them see what is up, if they still have an unfavorable choice or point of view, that's frustrating. But if it's just sort of like ignorance without harming somebody, that's kind of, you know.
So
we all do that in certain extents.
I want to get your take, particularly, and well, both your take on this. But I thought you'd have an interesting view as both a minority and a woman, right? So there's been a bunch of talk lately. I don't know if you seen the discussions about the Uncanny comedy festival happening.
I've seen something,
but to the stuff going on.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so there's a comedy festival in Tacoma called the Uncanny Comedy Festival, and it. Manny is in it, so you know he would be. It's actually better, I think, that he's not talking about because he's he's in the middle of all this.
Oh,
hold on. So don't get all worried about it.
No, I know. I was like, I don't want to talk about stuff that it's people we know. I can only talk about Bill Burr right now because I don't know him. Bill Burr,
not
you
want to
know me? You want to fight about your show?
So the Uncanny Comedy Festival. It's during the day. There's a whole bunch of like. Medical marijuana stuff, pot stuff, like it has to deal with, it's half a pot festival and half a comedy festival. And so this is the second one. So on the show, the build show now that everyone's seen, it is an all male show. And some people made some comments on that about like, women do stand up comedy. Kind of thing. So they're getting some flack about that, about it being an all-female show. Now, the only locals on the show is Manny Martin, who has a Comedy Central credit, now Heart of the City. And then Jubal Fresh, who's, the morning show host, nationally syndicated.
Awesome.
So, but he's a local celebrity. So, the other people are, I don't have his name in front of me, but he's from The Daily Show, a funny Asian comic. He's been here before. He's kind of the headliner of the night. And Mark Vieira, Justin Ruppel's going to come in again. I don't know if you know him.
I do know him.
Local and,
no, yeah, I know Justin from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
We worked at the same restaurant briefly, and I met him before I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And he was telling about his stand-up experience. And I remember thinking, oh, it's so cool you do stand-up. I don't think I'd ever do that. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, fine. I just remember he was super nice. So it's awesome getting to see him succeed.
Here's the thing. He's the only white guy on the show.
He's not white.
Oh, wait. What is
Justin Ruppel? Isn't he like half Armenian or something like that?
All right. Wait, there's another white guy on the show. Because I know there's only one white guy.
If that was a secret I misremember.
It's not Vieira.
He's
hosted mixed, for him one
right,
weekend.
It's not Vieira. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Jubal. Jubal's the one white guy. I think. If it's not you, Jubal, I'm sorry. Okay. But anyway, there's only one white guy on it. And I was like, people are hitting out, this is not a diverse show. Oh, it should have some diversity because there was no women or trans people on. Mm-hmm. Or not trans.
There's like no gender diversity. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's no gender or sexual. There was no gay or lesbian comic or anything. LGBTQ. And I was like, I said, it's pretty cool that there's an Asian comic headlining. That doesn't happen a lot, especially at the Tacoma Dome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of a big deal. Like, if you go back and look at it, just kind of like there's never been a I don't believe still an Asian president? Has ever won. Well, president.
Porn star.
Best actor. I don't believe there's been a Best Actor Academy Award winning.
I don't know all the best actors.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure there have. Well, I think, and that's kind of an issue within the Asian entertainment community, is they never seem to get recognized for these things, you know? And I've watched that. I mean, people don't even realize when there hasn't been, they're like, oh, there was never a black actor, best actor yet for the, until Denzel had won it, you know? So I was like, you know, that's pretty cool. And then it was like, they hit again on that. So, and here's the thing, what a lot of people didn't know was I happened to see the poster before that one, and there were two women and a gay and an LGBTQ comic on, because of other scheduling things. And usually it's because a bigger gig happened, they dropped last minute. And so I think they filled in a couple spots for them, but it's a little smaller of a festival now. I did comment to some of the people behind the scene. I'm like, well, you could have got a female comic. Like, you could have put the little work in to try to make sure you had one. But I think they just scrambled fast to get the spots done with people they knew. I know that there has in the past been a lot of shows that didn't have women on it. But I don't think I see a lot happening anymore. Like, occasionally I'll see one and just... But, you know, it was usually diverse. I felt like, one, there was being no recognition for the racial diversity of this. They're like, well, that's not good enough. You got to have all, we need all the diversity. And do you see enough, do you still feel like you see enough all male shows up here in Seattle that it would bother you to see one happening?
It's such a, I don't want to say like I'm the worst person to ask. It's just that you so rarely get a totally straight answer from me, because I'm always like, well, it's circumstantial. Like, what are the circumstances? Like, for the festival, how many shows were in the festival? How many women applied? What were their options? Like, there's so many.
I don't know why they call it a festival, because it's like, it's a one night show. And I mean, it's more of a festival because of the pop part before.
What's a good name? 12-hour event.
It's just, I think there's going to be some shows that are all women, some shows that are all male, some shows that are all black, all white, all this, all that. And then some shows where there's a lot of diversity, and they're, you know, I don't feel comfortable saying whether or not, like, I don't actually have an opinion on this one because I don't know enough of the backstory. Like, you know, Laughing Skull in Atlanta. Oh, I probably shouldn't say that, but I have an opinion about that, which
I don't know what's going on.
I hope they're not listening to this, but there was this whole big thing because there weren't any black women on that showcase. Or the Laughing Skull comedy competition, or in,
isn't that an all female?
And it's in freaking Chocolate City. It's in Chocolate City. And
there's the She-Devil.
There weren't any black women in
It wasn't a competition, right? It was a book show.
I think it was for the showcase, or not the showcase, the like a comedy festival. They didn't have any black women in it.
Huh.
And I remember reading that. I saw one of my friends from LA posted that story, and that one I had an opinion on.
Do you tend to notice it if you see a poster to go like, "Hey, there's none of this one in."
I mean, I don't. If it's a festival, where it's a festival, and the point is like, we're having diverse voices here. We're having multiple point of views. We're giving people opportunities. Like, I will notice that.
Yeah.
But if it's just a show, I normally don't notice because shows are always happening. But again, like, I don't know the circumstances of this show. I don't know how many people wanted to get in that couldn't get in. And
I think it is confusing it's a festival, because it's really just kind of an overbooked show. It's like eight people. Like, it's just a booked show.
Yeah.
And it's not really. Yeah. There was no applications or anything. It was just a producer putting together a lineup of who they wanted to put in.
Outside of that specific question, the other thing is people are always going to be unhappy.
Yeah.
I mean, people are always going to be like, what about me?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean.
These are all, by the way, all the credits they all have great credits, mm-hmm. and they all have great, you know, they're all known as really funny comics. So there's not like a, there's nobody sour in them. Like, part of me was like, well, who do you kick off the show?
I mean, I think that question, I find it to be a little bit of a hard question too, because it's like anybody who has whatever job they have is probably qualified. Okay, lots of people aren't qualified, but let's say they're probably qualified. And if they're going to try to get more diversity in it, well, then they're going to have to let there be a chance for other people who are qualified or who would, you know, have a chance to be qualified if they had that opportunity. Yeah.
I always notice when there's no black people in a show. And then I look at the booker's history after that. I go like, hey, do they, let me keep an eye out on
it's
here.
It's probably like hard here, no? I mean, there's a lot of black people, but black comics in Seattle. You don't think that if you live somewhere else in the country. Hey, there's a black comedian from Seattle in town. Just like, really? Is he lost?
Wait, in Seattle you think that?
No, I'm saying the rest of the country thinks that about Seattle.
Oh, okay.
It seems very white here to the rest of the country.
Oh, it's pretty, I think it's pretty diverse, but I guess where I came from, it wasn't. The rest of my life, I've been in very less diverse places.
There's only one real black neighborhood, right? Central District. Is there another one that I don't know about?
Well, that's getting taken over. It's getting gentrified.
It's gentrifying.
Yeah.
With movie theaters.
I mean, I'm trying to think what the area is called now. I guess the CD would probably be the closest. Yeah.
I just wouldn't expect. Definitely a black comic on every show as someone who's been in comedy for a while in Seattle. I wouldn't expect that in Wyoming either. Like, I would just think that it's a lot of white people.
I think isn't Wyoming. Wyoming is a lot of white people.
Yeah.
Right.
I haven't been. Yeah. That's one of the states I haven't been to, but I've been to Wyoming, just guessing,
but I was in the Yellowstone part of it. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really like
tourists.
You know, I think in the standard seven to eight overbooked shows, you know, like seven, eight comics on there. I'm expecting some people of color in it.
That's surprising that there's that many.
What?
At the Tacoma Dome, seven to eight.
Comics? Yeah, something like that. But I think some of them are going to start early on the day. Like, it's a long show. Hmm. And some are just doing like 10-minute spots. They might. Last time, some of them podcasted before too. So it was, it's a long night. I think last time they had they did a bunch of comics and then there was a big break. And then Hannibal came out and did an hour. So it was...
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So people could see parts of it if they didn't want to see the whole thing. It's kind of a long show, I think, as I remember it. What about you? Do you notice... You're not, like, outraged at things like I did, right? You're not like, Latinos need to represent. They're not represented.
I feel like I've just seen a lot of this country and I know how different people are. Mm-hmm. So I've been to 43 states now. I kind of understand where most people are coming from. And it doesn't surprise me that we're beefing as hard as we are these days because everybody's on one side of the fence screaming and they don't know what it's like over here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Seattle does great with comedy. Like, what are we talking about exactly?
Or like diversity. I mean, diversity, not comedy.
Yeah, diversity.
Like,
in
like,
the...
Do you think diversity in comedy is, how much is necessary? What kind of diversity is necessary on a show?
If the show's themed to be something, then I don't expect it to be diverse. But if the show is in a big venue where you could get a lot of people from different walks of life, me as a booker, I'd want to make it diverse because I want to make it fun for everybody there.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's...
I will say, because I do wonder if because it's a pot festival, I was like...
Yeah, that's everybody.
I mean, is that everybody?
That is everybody.
I don't know if that was ever... I was like, what kind of audience is an audience that... Is that a feminist audience? Is it a... I don't know if it's a bro. I don't know who goes to a pot festival.
I had like an hour conversation with a Jamaican girl that I was dating years ago because she said that marijuana was a Jamaican drug. And I'm just like, you can't have that. You don't get that. Mexico produces more. Thailand has great weed. Like, everybody's going to fight you on that.
I like to just imagine like you're taking out like flow charts and like diagrams.
She's like, it's part of our culture. I'm like, maybe Rastafarian culture, but that's not everybody in Jamaica. Don't act like I'm American.
Yeah, I don't think it didn't originate from Jamaica.
She just says they have the best and it's part of the culture. And I'm like, you can't argue that.
Now, my evil stepfather is from Jamaica, right? And he, I mean, I would say it's probably a big part of the culture there, but, you know, certainly not everybody, but I don't know. I'm not sure if you want. Who wants to define their culture by a recreational drug? Also,
a lot of people.
It was illegal. A lot of people. It was a legalization thing. We were talking about why it's legal here, not legal there. It's all politics, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I brought her all the way back to the hemp made paper, and the paper companies were mad in America. Just made it illegal, but it's way deeper than that too. Yeah.
Standard bar shows, though. So how about a standard bar show? Do you think like, oh, yeah, try to diversify it?
Especially like in the university districts, not just specifically this one, but if you're in Madison on the square, well, Madison, Wisconsin, those people are young and they just need to get used to seeing that. Like every other performer is going to be from a different, because we're not up there long. It's only like 10 minutes on like a showcase like that when there's 300 college kids. So give them a good taste of life, because a lot of them are from farms and haven't had it.
Mm.
So there's a different purpose with every show. It depends on late night crowd. Maybe you don't have a whole lot of diverse comics that want to do like kind of raunchy humor that people want to hear that late at night. That's like exclusively a white old guy thing, right? Like the dirty jokes, the dad jokes.
Like I'm currently doing a show with 3 20-minute comics. That's what we're doing. And I think even when I tend to book, the diversity I'm looking at is not necessarily of color, though I do consciously try to make sure I have usually somebody of color somewhere in the lineup. Not necessarily the 20s, but then maybe I want someone in the guest spot or hosting. But I try to think about what kind of stories I know they tell or what kind of comic they are. Are they a one-liner? Are they a jokey joke kind of person? Are they going to tell some stories? Like the show that Samantha was on, the first one.
That was fun.
Yeah. And I know that she does a lot of deadpan jokes. So I knew I needed to I wanted a high energy high energy-ish comic to start the show and to probably end it. So I kind of had her in the middle in my mind.
You're talking about Woody's?
Yeah.
In Shoreline?
Yes.
Okay, so
Wednesday nights.
I do have some experience drinking there.
Yeah?
And I would have a few things to say about who, because I've been there and there have been like just 7 Mexican dudes that just got off work.
Uh-huh.
They don't even speak English and they're just like pounding pitchers to their table, you know? And then there's like an old white guy that walks in through the back, and he's clearly a veteran from the things that he's wearing. And the bartender's just like, not tonight, not after last night. Don't do it. Go back home. Give us a few weeks with days off. And I was like, man, this is an interesting place. I never thought about anybody doing comedy there because it's kind of tight. I never
did either.
And it's a little small, but that could work to your advantage too.
Well, that's one reason I ended up choosing the format that I have. I didn't want too many comics because I felt like I don't want more comics than can fit in this place, for one. I don't want to feel up and down. And I also didn't, at first I was going to do like the standard 3-person show, you know, headliner, feature, host. But then I was like, God, I think 45 minutes of one person up there can just be really annoying in that small. It'll feel like a dad lecturing you, right? Or the mom lecturing. And I was like, I don't think I want to go that direction. And I was like, you know, the middle ground might be like, you know, enough 20 minutes is enough time to get to know somebody. They get to stretch their legs. They, you know, there's an intimacy you get to feel with each person. And maybe we'll see how that goes. And the first two have been great. And it's early enough that actually that group that gets off work, it doesn't show up yet. And there's a couple of those old guys that have probably been in a war there. And then it's enough for some of the young, I think what we're trying to get is some of the younger crowd of Shoreline to come in for a little bit. And, you know, so the show's only about an hour, like hour 15, about that. And, you know, I think it's only $5 to get in. So just enough to annoy people or to get them. I always want to charge so that people will pay attention, because even $5
it creates value.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to listen for my $5 and get it worth it. And it's short enough for this dive bar kind of thing that they can get back to whatever they want. The show's going to be done quick enough that if they weren't there for that, I mean, hopefully you're not taking a first date to Woody's, right? But, and you know, I had another show in Shoreline for 6 years, like at Daryl's Tavern.
Oh, Daryl's.
Yeah, so I'm like a dive bar expert of comedy in Shoreline. Like, I know the Shoreline dive bar crowd. Everywhere else, I don't know. But
to be clear, it's not that I'm a complete alcoholic. Shoreline's kind of where I stop in between work and having, like, if I have my girlfriend come pick me up, I work in Lynnwood, drop off the van, and then come halfway down and she comes to get me, but I usually beat her. So I try
major bus station there too. Like,
there is, but we live in Ballard, so it already leaves me like another half hour away from home. So it's just easier to get picked up.
Right.
I'd do it for her.
That's a hard commute from getting to Ballard from anywhere. It's kind of challenging.
Yeah.
The dogs are worth it.
I wanted to ask, I want to hear about this dog, but I also wanted to ask about, you said you've been to 43 states?
Yeah.
Like,
over 15 years of traveling here and there. I went to college in Denver, and I'm from Chicago. So those are two really good hubs to blast off on, like, weekends and check this or that out. I just find the United States history and, like, the vastness of it really interesting. The coolest thing that I think I've seen is the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Like, that's just incredible. It takes your eyes like a minute to just adjust to how big it is. But the coolest, like, city is definitely New York. It's just so old and new at the same time, just mashed up. You don't need a car. I mean, those are the two favorite places if you're going to go one country in one city.
But you lived in New York for a while, right?
2.5 years only, actually. I plan to be there for
a long time. I feel like living in New York's like cat years.
I'm glad that that you have like both of your places. I was like, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Wait, you've been in New York?
I was born there. Yeah, till I was 8.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. And
what borough?
Brooklyn and Long Island. Okay. Long Island. Yeah, but I've been there a few times since. Yeah. So visiting. Yeah. You know?
I need to see the Grand Canyon. I've been to most states in the Union, but as a kid traveling through.
The easy way is to just go to Vegas and pay $300 and have the helicopter take you in and out, because then you get to see the whole thing like fast. But if you really want to see it, you should probably make your
it
legs
seems like
hurt.
Really
wait,
far,
did you
though.
Did you drive or did you have the help go on the helicopter?
We did we did a road trip from Orlando to San Francisco, because she's a New Yorker. She hasn't seen any of the country.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's just like 8 years younger than me. So I was like, let me show you New Orleans, Texas. Let me do it. Let's do all this. And so I think we put away $200 a week each, but we were like fat cat bartending in New York, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It was easy to just not go to the bar one night, and then we'd have $200 each like on top. It was wonderful. That's the real thing about like doing that kind of work. It's really hard not to go out after, because you have all this cash on hand and you're sweating and people have annoyed you. You're just like, let's go get a drink.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were able to fund it. It was a really good trip. It took us 2 months or so to get here. We were supposed to drive the whole way, but we ran out of time and money in San Francisco and just bought a $60 flight.
Holy cow.
Are you like, do you just work odd jobs?
That's the good thing about the dog walking is you could pick it up in any city that they offer it. Like, I could fly to Chicago tomorrow. Cool. And then as I land, just like book dogs and try to find my line.
That's a sweet thing. Lyft is hoping that will happen one day for like
maybe
driving.
There's a whole thing where you got to get car and insurance.
Yeah,
and
I know, but I know the founders, so because I was one of the first drivers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I didn't realize you're one of the first drivers.
Yeah, I was a founding driver. Well, from a founding driver in Seattle, we started a year after them, and so I had driven the CEO, the founder, a couple times. And
you should be able to rent a car.
He actually, they had one proposal or one thing that they started doing. They implemented that back when we had Facebook groups that we would communicate with them on at the time. And they did this thing, and I said, I'm done until this is gone. Till this is gone, I'm not driving. I'll drive for Uber until then.
Oh, until the Facebook group?
What they did was they
chunky
no what they
whatever it was called group.
they did this thing for a little bit called happy hour, where they would drop rates like 30%, 40%, because it was, you know, there was a low demand. So hey, son, just like how they used to have prime surges, they decided to try the opposite. What if it's low? And so I'm like, wait, so we're just driving and suddenly we get paid half of what we so that's how it worked. And I was like, this is bullshit. I have a family. No, I'm not going to do this. I quit. The CEO called me to try to get me to drive again because he knew, because I was very vocal and I guess considered me kind of influential in the group. And, you know, we had a chat about that and
that's cool. Did it.
So yeah, I really know awesome. Them. So now that they're huge, you know, I can't even talk to them, but no, I had a good relationship with him. I really liked him. John is John Zimmer. But yeah, one of the goals is like ideal goals is Lyft everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that if they can figure out a way to get it nationalized so that you could be in another city. And I mean, at the time it was all about community. Is there a community ride with somebody and get to learn, you know, learn about somebody who's going the same direction as you. And now it's a little more of taxi service kind of, but and
busy,
so
busy.
You know, before the, like they said when and it was true when we first started, it was encouraged people new to the city, what a great way to learn about the city, you know, you just put it in the GPS where to go and you're going to learn along, and people didn't mind at all. They expected cab drivers to know exactly how to get somewhere, right? But you were new, like, hey, if you have a better idea on a way to get here, feel free to tell me. And it was like, oh yeah, great. Oh no, and you got to check this out. So people did it, like moving new to a city.
How many times
became
did you
a Lyft driver?
How many times did you pass the Fremont Troll?
Oh God, I still. I was doing it the other night. Yeah, I drive occasionally. I'm trying to meet people to sell homes to.
Smart.
And I'm handing out
started listening to your podcast, your other podcast.
Oh, yeah?
By the way, I subscribed.
You're buying a home with size on its side.
One day, perhaps. iTunes. Yeah. No, it was good. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, and it's nice doing a short one.
Yeah.
This one's long. But a little short one. That's actually helpful to people. But I'm also, like, I've handed it to some people in the car, and I'm hoping they're listeners. And what I like is some people are from out of town, but this is the one time, it's the one business where I'm like, oh, I don't even care if you're out of town. Just listen to the show. Get my numbers up. Then I can get a sponsor. Right. And then I'm making money anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. Or I can refer to them. I can also refer them to, like if somebody's in Orlando, mm-hmm. one of my good friends online is a real estate agent in Orlando.
That's true. You can get a good referral.
Yeah. You can refer them out to there. And it's people I like too. I know there's a few Orlando agents I know. He's the only one I like.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you refer it to somebody who sucks, well, then your referrals aren't going.
Right.
You're gonna be like, don't listen to him.
Carl out there in Orlando, who also is a doorman at Disneyland, and he might be able to treat you to little weekend at Disneyland.
A little pineapple froyo.
He's been trying to get me out there.
Oh, that pineapple froyo, oh my God, though.
So good.
We got 4 free tickets to Orlando from meeting people in bars in New York.
Really?
Just from being like, yeah, we're going to Orlando. That's where we're starting our road trip. My nephew. And people came through.
That's so awesome.
We each got two ticket deals for just going, we'll just have drinks with your nephew and it'll be fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah. See, that's the power of New York City. Everybody goes there.
Yeah.
Well, and connections, like taking this time to connect with somebody and talk.
Yeah. It was an old lady that was just like, what are you shooting? And I was just like, let me get you one.
This is what
I'm
bugs
so
me.
I'm so glad you didn't say heroin.
Heroin.
I'm sorry.
That would have been funny.
So terrible.
This that would have been a good, well-placed joke.
Right?
It's bugged me lately about Lyft, actually, because I've been driving the last few weekends, and it's changed from that community thing in the beginning. Like, so many people will just sit and, like, not talk to you, just ignore you, whether they're on their phone or they just don't want to talk. And, I partly get it, but I'm also thinking about, like, who you miss. This last Friday, the woman I picked up in bag, she was going a little distance, and we started chatting, and but you know, come up where you're from, and she said she was from Massachusetts, and I was like, oh, I went to junior high and high school, a little dinky town called Millis, Massachusetts, and she, like, I saw her face, she goes, Millis? Like, yeah. So I go to talk to her, and I mean, I kind of recognize the last name a little bit, Murray. Anyway, my younger brothers also went to school there after I left. She turned out to be the sister of my brother's best friend.
Oh,
they're good. And she's friends with him, like on Facebook. They're friends. And I messaged him and I found out more that I'm not going to say on here about her, but like, well, nothing bad. It was just, I knew their relationship.
No, I know.
It was just the random circumstance. This is a town of 10,000 people, right? Or, you know, it's a very small school. Mm-hmm. 56 people graduate every year. Yeah. So the random chance that it took for me to, at the right time, pick up this person who knows my brother.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yep.
And I think about that. Like, how many people have I picked up that there's actually a connection that we have? I have picked up people and found we have mutual friends, you know, and it's kind of weird. And I'm always just thinking, like, what opportunities have been missed from everybody or friendships that could have formed, or just because you're like, I'm too busy to get to know this person in this little time. I don't know. I'm just like,
not just that, but like, I've had good laughs in an Uber or a Lyft from just BSing with the old guy.
Yeah.
He's telling me about the war stories and whatever industry he was in. Like, just that's worth it. Learn about a person.
Actually,
I always talk their ear off.
I like hearing about them, but I don't like talking about me. And I think it's also the, like, I'm just scared to be around men that I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably scary to be around women too, but it's more, you know, I don't really think about that. Just because, you know, stranger danger, that's a thing. I don't like it if they ask me too many personal questions. So I'll either just like try not to answer it or not be too specific.
So what kind of, depending what's a personal on what question? It is.
I don't know, like my social security number.
The second question.
Well, I hear that. You know, like someone, you know, just, I never really thought about it till a woman mentioned it about seeing the person press last ride on the app that they're shutting off after that.
That's
ride.
That's scary.
Well,
could be, right?
The reason you do it, I mean, yeah, and I never really thought about how that might institute fear. Though I think I have, usually I would mention it like, oh, I'm going to turn this off after this. Oh, you're going to be my last ride for the knee. I didn't really think of it as safety and like how I should phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to work on that now. But often you'll do that so they don't add a ride to you.
Oh, totally.
Without you. Because they'll do that. They'll just add a ride. And sometimes you want to see where about the ride before you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just want to know the information. I don't want to just add anybody in. But I never really thought about that. It's institutional misogyny. I never really thought about it.
I don't think that's misogyny.
Kind of. I mean, the women do have to sort of live in a fear because men suck, right?
Well, okay. There's
this element of fear that I don't have to worry about
generally. Right.
You know, so I'm trying to think about how to do that. So either I do it before I actually pick them up. I try to remember to hit the button. Mm-hmm. If I know I want this to end, or I'll try to do it somewhere near the end, or I just don't do it now. And I'm just like, as soon as
you're on the hook for another one.
Yeah.
Just rolling the dice for a man until you can end your night.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I guess I don't even, unless a guy, I don't even worry about it now.
Yeah.
But now I forget what I interrupted you.
No, I didn't think about that either. I didn't know that was a feature, though, the end ride.
Yeah. Hmm. But you said you would, I got so self-centered there that I don't remember.
Well, I don't think that every woman is like as sort of like stranger, like safety or whatever as I am. You know,
I was helping.
Oh, personal questions. Oh, yeah, I guess I've wondered about personal. Because sometimes I ask people. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking about, like, do they think I'm going to stake out the place? Like, when they say, oh, you're going on vacation. How long are you going? It's just, you know, I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. But I told him, like, don't tell people you're going on vacation until after you get back. No, like, you can tell your friends, but I mean, like, don't put it on Facebook until, like, after you get back.
I have his, Manny does that. He doesn't want to, Crystal tags him, and then he's like, why'd you do that? Well, no, we're not there.
Hey, happened to Gronkowski the last Super Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
They knew he was gone. They robbed his whole house.
Like
$15 million dollars or
so
stuff.
I always ask the same question.
Horrible.
So where are you heading? Are you going home, or are you going away?
I
always wonder that. I always ask that. I think I come across as kind of a wimp, so I don't think everyone's
your energy isn't creepy, but you know what I might say? I don't know, because normally, I haven't taken Lyft that many times, but the times that I have taken it, I was like going to the airport and or I was like staying with a friend, or, you know, I wasn't at home by myself. Yeah. But if I was living by myself, I would probably be like, oh, I'm staying with a friend. Or I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going home. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to my boyfriend's house.
No. I mean, like, if we're going to the airport, like, are you flying home?
Oh, I thought.
Or you come.
Okay.
No. I've learned. I try not to do that because I did catch that early on in driving that sometimes people don't. I know I'm not even necessarily driving them to their real house because then they're going to walk a couple because they don't want to. They're afraid to put the pin at their actual house. I get that stuff. I let them open up about that kind of stuff. But I will say, like, oh, heading to work. If it looks like we're heading to work, it looks like a workplace that we're heading. And they're like, no, I'm not. I don't think I've ever, well, I think maybe a couple times. I never know when people clam up, I guess, like whether it's because they think it's a too personal of a question. So I'm like, I don't know what a personal question is.
Oh, yeah. I think we already established this.
What?
No, I'm just thinking early on when we were getting to know each other. That, like, I would not tell anything. And you're like, but I tell so much information. I'm like, yeah, I appreciate that about other people.
Yeah.
And then I just, like, slowly dole out pieces of information. Except for when I'm doing stand-up when I have to tell more information.
Man, if I screenshotted everyone's house that I go to, though.
Yeah.
Like, every rich dog in Seattle, I could have so many ends to people's. That code that they gave me may be only for the wag walker, but I'm sure there's 100 other wag walkers to go.
Oh.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, I have definitely thought of when I'm picking people up, I was like, gosh, it's so good I'm not a criminal.
Right?
I'm like, oh, I know they're gone for a couple weeks. I could see that. Oh, what they got. Like, oh, that's a lot of stuff.
An orientation where they're just like, do not remove anything from people's homes. Do not bring anyone with you. But that was just mostly a comedy show for most of us. We were just like, seriously? They're like, we have to say these things legally.
Yeah.
It was really kind of funny.
That. Well, there's people that used to... They would bring, I mean, besides bringing their pets with them who aren't like service animals in a Lyft drive, like some people, like they brought their like husband with them because their husband wasn't comfortable. I'm like, yeah, but this single 20-year-old isn't comfortable that this couple just picked her up. That's a little weird.
This is the beginning
for them.
Of most horror movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's
like you have to explain to them. You can't do that. No, that's not.
Are horror movies a little bit responsible for how scared we are, or is it actually that bad?
I mean, it's hard to say. I'd be
that's
creeped
specifically
out.
Why Kayla, my girlfriend, doesn't watch them because she doesn't want that idea in her head of people being like inherently bad. I'm like, they're just fun. They just get my blood going. Like, ooh. It's like eating a spicy food or drinking a lot. I don't know. It's just intensity.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I think I read about, like, we do it, we watch them to, I mean, the same thing as a roller coaster, right? It
sure.
is an anxiety.
I'm probably more scared.
My mom watches scary movies for a different reason. It's for preparation.
See?
So when we would watch it, like, I would watch
remember
some
that
growing
move.
Up.
Don't
that
it would be. Yeah.
Don't run upstairs.
Yeah, or it would be kind of for that. I don't like watching them, but.
So you think maybe a little bit adds to the fear unrationally? Us as a country, not you.
Well, I think that.
Because we love them probably more than most countries.
Really? I think
Japan's Japan. Probably yeah, number yeah. one, but we're not far behind. Mm. It's like flip-flop baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. Sorry, can you? I thought you were asking one thing, but now based off of the ratios, I'm thinking.
Do you think that? Let's just say horror movies, not even media, because that's definitely a yes.
Instilling the fear.
Yeah, are they adding to
rather,
it?
Rather, like what we just said, the Lyft ride, an extra person's in the car.
Well,
are we scared because legitimately things happen, or because of our imagination from? Say horror movies.
The media wouldn't work because those are actual things that happened.
Right. Well, not everybody watches horror movies. So I think to imagine that most people are scared because of horror movies, it doesn't quite like correlate. There've been a lot of horrible, there's a lot of horrible things that happen in lots of countries, but I feel like there've been a lot of horrible things that have happened in our country to each other. Sort of, you know what I mean? I think there's an underlying basis of knowing, like, it doesn't take too many people to make things terrible, you know? Like, I don't think people are inherently bad, but I just think that, like, the amount of damage that one person can do, and you never know who that one person is, it is frightening. I try not to think about that, but our country does have a lot of violence compared to some other countries. Yeah. So there's good reason for us to be maybe a little bit more paranoid.
When you say that, Alex, I think about, Birth of a Nation caused a bunch of lynchings, mm-hmm. right? So mass media definitely does have an effect on how we're on the fear that we have about things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't think that it doesn't have an effect. I don't know how much is the cause.
I think if an extra person was in the lift, I think probably it's innocent and nothing's going to happen. But it's definitely not going to change me from being uncomfortable about this.
Because, yeah, I would like to bring somebody with me when I
Some people brought their baby, though. They have. They're like, I didn't have... Why? I can't bring my baby? It was like, you want some stranger sitting next to your baby?
I don't know. It could be another form of self-defense. That's horrible. I saw this thing on Facebook. It was some animal species that it throws its baby at predators
so it can get away. We have the same feed.
God. Right? So they might have brought their baby for their protection.
Well, the bear species.
I was going to share it.
Bears do that.
Bears do that?
To survive. They'll eat their young so that they can make...
But I think
that's pretty... Worse, isn't it?
Well, guinea pigs do that. I don't know about bears.
Okay. Bears totally eat their young to survive, so they
bears
can make it.
Beats Battlestar Galactica.
So they can survive to make more babies, and that's probably the same logic.
What? In the winter,
yeah,
they're sleeping.
No, that's totally.
Well,
a thing.
Maybe they were dreaming it was a steak.
Especially polar bears that are running out of real estate
and Coca-Cola. What are they supposed to have?
I'm just thinking, like, I don't know. Okay, I guess it's worse to eat the baby. Yeah, but I think it's pretty horrible to throw the baby.
Well, the same logic, though. They're saving themselves.
It's just, throwing the baby is just a little more of a Costanza thing, right? It's
A little more. Knock over women.
Toss them in front of me.
How confused is the predator? Like, thanks?
Oh, now I've got to raise this?
I didn't want veal, but okay.
Like, you know what? I don't
now I've got to age it for another 15 years.
The ethical
years before it's
treatment
edible.
Of animals that we eat is just getting ridiculous.
Funny if the animal was like, no, I can't eat a baby. It's a baby.
No.
I might be a jackal.
It's a baby human. I can't eat a baby. No, that's just wrong.
That is wrong.
You need to eat the older one. Mm-hmm. They would have grown up.
In a Disney movie, they would have raised it.
And I'm going to breastfeed from it first, though.
You're going to breastfeed from a baby?
Speaking from the point of view of the bear. No, it needs to... How we drink cow's milk, it makes no sense, right?
Right.
So why doesn't a bear try to get a baby? Human milk?
Oh, human milk. Okay.
What's the older one? And then it's going to eat it, right? Mm-hmm. Eat the mom. Mm-hmm.
Human milk is like sour. It's probably gross to them. Ask me how I know that. Ask me how I know that.
I think it's actually a little sweet.
I was wondering if I should. What?
It's completely innocent and hilarious.
Okay, and Silas.
Silas, do you approve?
I have three babies. Things happen.
Taste testing?
No, but
yeah, actually,
I'm just gonna pretend that's what you
my
said.
My father was teaching me how to warm up. I have a nephew. When he was a baby, he was like, "Okay, so you take this glass bottle. Be careful not to leave it in this water too long. Mm-hmm. Pour it on the back of your hand because it's more sensitive. It'll let you know." And so he just two or three drops, and it starts running off. And just out of reaction, I go to lick it because it's like a milky substance running off your hand. You're like, "Oh, ice cream!" Huh. And he's just like, "How was that?" Just like sour. I'll be right back.
Well, it's supposed to have fat in it. It's actually not supposed to be sour. It's supposed to have a sweetness to it.
Mexicans.
Yeah. So
dulce de leche. Sorry.
She had bad
milk.
She had bad milk.
She was pumping a lot of it though. I remember she said she could sell online and make $400 a month off of how much she's pumping.
You know, people donate it too, just to like, so that you shared. They believe in shared immunity. It helps with immunity by sharing other people's.
That makes sense.
They make a milkshake out of it. It's a weird
milkshake brings all the bears to the yard. Polar bear crisis.
No,
that's
solid logic, actually. when you move to a new place, in case you're not there in the spring, you're supposed to eat a lot of their honey because it brings all the native ingredients into you.
And it's supposed to help your allergies and stuff. If you're having allergy problems, get local honey.
So that's kind of the same logic of sharing milk.
Unprocessed?
Isn't it unprocessed? Well, I mean,
so I can't get
so
the
I mean, honey
well,
is
more
raw.
Natural, like.
So should I do that?
Because some of it, you know, some of the honey looks like super, you know, like some of it's on the clothes, some of it's
crystallized, right?
Looks more processed. Get like local.
So that
honey.
Might be a actually if that's true, I'll totally do that. I'll spend the winter just eating local
Don't
honey.
Don't give honey to babies, though.
No. Under a year.
Yeah. Well, you know that. You're a dad. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of
it says
I could have saved some lives right now. For all those babies out there listening.
Don't eat honey.
You just get the milk, not the milk and honey. Okay?
Are you sure it wasn't the French 75 you were making them?
Yum.
It's the alcohol, not the honey.
I know. I just think I haven't had a French 75 in like ages.
Hey, so Alex, before we get out of here, you have a show going on, a new show, right? I'm very excited about this. A game show, which is different in the comedy world in Seattle. There's a lot in Portland and New York. Maybe more Seattle people should do this. Anyway, you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, it's a stand-up based show. You're on it, the next one. We're doing it in Bellevue.
October 26th.
October 26th. There's a little bit of competition with a lot of Halloween stuff going on, but you can't do comedies done on Halloween weekend in every city every year.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I don't know.
I was trying to talk to someone about it today, though.
Opening night of my first full-length play in college was October 31st. That was the opening night. It was the only night they could do it. So I had a bunch of people in costume watching my
play. Super Bowl is the real nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
No,
no, never do that. Never do that.
So anyway, what we do is we let the audience play a little bit. I bring people on stage. They're selected a little bit randomly before. We know if they want to be on or not, and then I pick from that group. We learn a little bit about them, and they sit down. Now the comedian knows, you know, that they're a plumber or whatever in case they have a plumber joke they can pull out. That's part of the reason that I do that, but also to make the audience member comfortable sitting on stage facing the rest of the audience because it's a little awkward, but that's the point. Then I will bring up another comedian after I have the board the panel set of contestants, and their job is to just not laugh. So whatever jokes you think will make them awkwardly face an audience that is laughing and crack them, there's a light underneath each chair that will rule them out one by one, and then the last one standing or sitting gets a prize, whatever I can afford that month.
That sounds awesome.
What's the name of the show?
Poker face.
That's like awesome.
Eventually, we'd like it at a casino. I mean, I feel like it really fits there.
Oh, yeah.
And I really want to get a casino to just let me give a ticket of like $20 value because we got to keep a dollar amount on our tickets to everybody who buys into a poker tournament because a lot of random people do. And they already know they're going to lose. They're just like, it'll just be fun. I'll go with, you know, Craig, $50 poker tournament, whatever. You still have something and it doesn't expire. And that way we have a lot of people fueling, you know, the casino room because they're usually huge. Mm-hmm. So there's a big marketing thing.
That's so
trying
cool.
to get into the casino.
Right? The Emerald Queen would be fun.
Yeah.
That's a what a fun idea.
They do UFC.
That might make comedy at a casino more enjoyable for me.
It makes the audience members a little bit on edge, you know, people laugh at them. Some of them know them in the audience. Eventually I'd like to theme them. Like 1 month we just do firemen and we get the entire
fire brigade.
Everybody. They love doing stuff like that. Like putting on stage and then, you know,
that's so cool.
Tough guy jobs. Teachers are actually really hard to break. We found out they have to hold their laughter lot.
I could see that. Yeah. All that practice. Yeah.
But it all depends on the joke.
Yep.
You never know which joke is going to break which person. Mm-hmm. And it really helps the comedians reach, and it's something fun for the audience. And who knows, they may go home with a $25 Lyft card.
Yeah. Hey.
You know, I'm a little nervous about this, to be honest. Because I am, because I'm like, it's one thing to make like people laugh that you're that they want. Generally, an audience wants you to make them laugh, right? Mm-hmm. So it's free. But here's going to be three hostile people that are trying not to laugh at your jokes. And I'm like, suddenly I'm like, wait, is my joke funny enough to get somebody to laugh that's trying not to? Like, that's...
Well, there's an audience in front of you, too.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So it's contagious. It's really hard to face people that are laughing and not laugh.
Oh, this is awesome. Okay, so you said it's October 26th?
Yeah.
It's the next one.
The next one. I'm going to try to do it every month at a different venue until we find one that really rings.
And it's
it's going to be at Cereal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Have you ever been?
Actually, yeah, because when you were when you didn't say Cereal, I was just thinking, I was like, oh, when you said you need another venue, I'm like, oh, have you asked Cereal? Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
No, it's very colorful. It's very gamey. Amin is actually on the show.
Yeah.
Because he's taken off for warmer climate.
Oh, that's right. He is.
And I'm like, are you leaving? Let me get you in before you go.
That's awesome.
So that might be his last show.
I definitely.
Oh, cool. I'll ask him to be on my show.
I got to come see
him. I always like
to
ask people to be on my show when they're moving, because that way they remember me as trying to get on their show and I never actually have to book them. It's a key part. Are you moving? No.
you're like, let me pack your bags for you. So that's awesome. If I'm not doing a show, I definitely want to come see this one. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that idea. I'd love to see more game shows. I want to see game shows.
It's hard to stay original.
I've wanted
to do
like a comedy game show for like ages, but this was clearly not my idea. Like the version that I was playing with was, you know, different, but I'm just excited that it's happening, even though it's not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that this is a thing that is happening. So I want to come watch it.
It's hard to keep control of a little bit. You have to have a little bit of experience as a host because people get excited and they get a little out of hand and, you know, everybody's drinking. So
yeah.
It could go a lot of different ways. So you have to be a ringleader always as a host, but a lot more when you're trying to reset new panel of people. Mm-hmm. And make it fair for the next comedian.
Yeah. No, it's challenging and wonderful. And I want to see more of this. More of this, please.
And costumes.
If you have an idea.
People wear costumes, too. It's great.
I would love to host a game show one day. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Seattle game show.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. What would that be? What would a Seattle-themed game show be? The Salmon? Be like...
I was thinking something like coffee beans.
Coffee beans?
Well, what would you do, though? What would be the activity?
They actually...
Is there a passive aggressiveness that you... Is there competitive passive aggressiveness?
You could try to not offend people.
The wokest?
Yeah, the wokest.
Are you the wokest?
Apparently it's a 22-year-old girl, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. In a city... where everyone's so tired during the winter, are you the wokest?
How can you complain the most, but in a friendly way? I don't know. I don't know what it is about Seattle. What I love about Lyft is meeting all the different people from different parts of the country and find out what they're like, what their personalities are for. You know, I like New Englanders. I do a lot. They're very the bluntness. It's really fun.
Oh yeah, that's a.
So you don't strike me as a New Yorker. That's you know.
Well, I mean, I'm not only from New York.
I know. Mm-hmm. I think your formative years were. Where'd you move to next? Here,
Montana. Here.
Montana. That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I
would never be able to tell if someone's from Montana.
Oh yeah. No. There's just enough of both cities in me that it's like it makes sense. But but this ratio of like. Living here and living there, you know, we all have our different ratios and what sticks with us from it. The New Yorker part of me is that I don't have the same idea of confrontation. Like people get so scared to just be honest. Not everybody, but like I am blunt, yeah. But I'm not maybe it's not as blunt maybe as if I was straight up from New York. But I'm not afraid of like, let's just tell each other the truth. Cause once we get it out there, then we can fix it. Like,
face
then
to you face,
can, face to face
email. They're totally okay. Sending the worst stuff out here. You ever have that meeting at work where it's just like, everybody's just like kind of reading from the book. And then you get the email after like, why did we even have a meeting? You guys could have sent all these issues.
So frustrating.
So passive aggressive.
See, I wonder if that part of it, how much of that is California from you? Because I remember
California being blunt or which part?
Look, Californians are very what I would say. There's a commonality between Boston and California is because in California, they're also very honest, but they care a lot about your feelings. Not L.A. L.A. is not a part. L.A. is.
Oh, OK. Because I was like, that's where I was. So I was in L.A.
Now the rest of the
I don't
the
feel
normal
like they're
part
all deranged,
of,
but
no, the where it's like, look, man, I just need you to know how this made me feel, you know, when you came in there. Really hurt my feelings, and I wish we could, you know, just be friendlier to each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if maybe you could pick up the laundry occasionally, something like that.
Yeah.
And boss would be like, "You're a fucking slob. Could you pick it up?" Mm. You know.
That kind I of. See what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it can't always be like there are generalizations about the region. Because I remember when I was in college, there was this girl who was from the East Coast, right? Who was older than me too. And she needed me to go tell the director something for her because she couldn't do it herself because it was too confrontational and she was scared. And I'm just like, what's confrontational about this? You're just saying, don't do this. It makes me feel bad. Like, how is that confrontational? And so
you're making someone address their feelings.
Yeah, I just can't even with that. I'm very much care about how people feel and how I can affect them, obviously. I mean, if
well,
you
that's fine,
about
but you're
me,
talking
but it's like,
about
you know,
business. You know, you have to do it at work. We have to have this uncomfortable conversation. Why? Because you did this uncomfortable thing. I'm
what
sorry.
What was the thing that was
no, done? I'm just saying, like, when you have to do it, you have to do it. I can see it being like, how should I talk to this friend about this thing that they did? But when it's at work and people hide behind like their ledger, get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, in a reference to the meeting we had earlier,
HR.
I just wanted
HR.
To mention.
That's quite interesting. Yeah, no, I just.
That's totally a thing out here.
That's so interesting. I totally forgot. I had this like HR meeting at this job that I had back in LA. It was like. With a few other people from, I'm going to try to be vague, from our area or whatever. And we had had new management and things were like kind of a shit show and whatnot. And we were being blamed for a lot. And they asked for what we thought. And oh boy, did I tell it to them. And whoever was in charge did not look happy. And I wasn't saying they were jerks or anything. I was just listing out, these are the problems. This is why I'm upset about it. Blah, 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 blah.
Number one, you're a jerk.
And they,
number two.
Well, the person wasn't even there. Like the person that I was talking about how they were handling it, they weren't there. It was kind of like one of the bosses who wanted to know like how the departments were, right? And oh my goodness, they asked for the feedback and then he looked so like... Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. I'm like,
man,
oh, so you really didn't want actual feedback. You wanted me to say everything's great.
No, when I first moved here, I worked at a hotel just because I worked for Hilton before and boom, job. But when people are just like, how's your day? And I give them a couple lines of dialogue. I'm like, oh, they didn't really want to know.
No, no.
They just wanted to say hello.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I'm working through my temper issues. And
it wasn't always like ever negative. It's just like, oh, my God, I had this mini labradoodle that was like crazy. And there was like poop stuck to it. I took the time to clean the dog and they didn't even tip me. I'm just like, seriously, you clean your own shit, dog. And they're just like, oh, we're at the front desk.
Oh, we're at the front desk. You can't have shit dogs up here. Don't you know that's silly?
Just a different culture.
Your voice acting coming into play.
It's pretty good.
I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Say Black and a Half.
Thank you for joining us here at the Black and a Half podcast. Rockin' at.
Say welcome to the Hilton. My name is Nadia. How can I help you?
Welcome to the Hilton. My name is Nadia. How may I help you?
That's perfect.
That's great. You're my favorite black white girl. Stand by. All right, Black and a Half.
Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Live long and prosper and prosper and prosper and prosper and prosper.